Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols with another Tactical Fitness Report, coming at you with a really cool topic today of, you know, learning tactical skills while you're going through a selection program, as well as being the new guy. But before we get into that, Jeff, tell us what's new in your world. What's going on?
Oh yeah, no one's immune to stupidity, including me.
So hey, we're human.
Yeah. So I got my Instagram account hacked by clicking on links like an idiot and said messages and things like that. And so fortunately I have a better half that's far more cool-headed than myself, who salvaged it entirely. Even despite me trying to blow it up, I'm good at smashing things and starting over. So that was my initial reaction, which isn't good. That's, I just got, Catherine says, my wife's like, you're Navy SEALing at the wrong time, man. Like, we don't need this. So that was awesome. We got it secured finally. And then our house flooded a little bit, and that was a little bit of stress. But I mean, I think the reality is like, you never really want bad stuff to happen to you. And I think this might go in context with like the job that we're always talking about. It's like, man, if your intentions are good and you try not to blow stuff up, metaphorically, it'll work out, man. And I think that a lot of those skills that I acquired in the teams, we'll kind of talk about this here, they're really good skills, right? But sometimes when you like 11 years in the teams and building and developing those skills, I get out. That was a difficult transition for me, because I got out and it's like, oh man, I'm really good at just smashing stuff and starting over. And that's not good for admin. So, that's kind of like, we're really fortunate to put out the tactical seminar that we're going to launch. We're launching here with some friends and guests and whatnot coming up in April. And that's just kind of the new and still training folks here and enjoying it. So
yeah, I saw you had a pretty good group that last training block you had.
Yeah, we I guess the last class we had eight that finished. They came and trained. We have next group we have that's coming, we got another eight or so, and then the summer class 11, then the summer class is always much larger. So that one's already about halfway full. So that's, it's not necessarily new, but it's always one of those things that like keep letting people know we're still working and training, because we're not like your typical gym, just like you. It's always happening, and we may not be advertising it, because they always say like the coaches that don't have time advertising are busy coaching. So that's definitely the case for you and I, right? Because people can notice when we're heavy on social media, we don't have a lot of clients. And when I'm not around and you, people can assume as much.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I too been busy. Still training every day with our guys. And, but you know, I've 20 years ago or 24 years ago, I created a system, which I call it my seasonal tactical fitness periodization, which is just seasonally going through the year, focusing on weaknesses, maintaining your strengths and, going through that. And it actually has some tactical applications to it. And I finally created a four-part series that actually addresses all of it, right? And so I got these things done
that's your big writing project you were
doing. Yeah, since June, I got the winter lift cycle, I got the fall good transition, deal. And I got the spring calisthenics cardio, and the summer one's so new, I haven't even got it from the printer yet.
Right. It's funny, because I'm tough. Doing the same thing in my program. So funny, it's like, I want to just highlight this for you, because you're like, I'm sitting here going, you're like, Stu's like, for 24 years. And I'm sure people are going like, well, Stu, why did it take you 24 years to write this? And I'm like going like, it takes 24 years to develop something that's useful. So yeah, it's like, welcome to real strength and conditioning from a professional coach. It takes 20 years to develop something. You're like, it's right. It's finally right. It took me 24 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Every year is kind of like a new evolution of that system. It's not necessarily different, as far as like each system is like, this is what you do. It's just the choreography of different exercises and movements have evolved over the last 24 years, but the system works. And you don't even need my programs for it. If you have a lift cycle you like, boom, put it in here. You got a run cycle you like, put it here, you know, and just understand the system, how that works. And that's what I've been working on.
The irony, here's the irony, Stu, because it's beautiful. Cause like you're doing it away and you saw a way to do it. Like, hey, it needs to be rebuilt. I'm a huge comic book fan. And when comics run to the end for fans, they kill it. They rebirth it. It's the same Superman in a sense. And it's almost the same story, but it's been not cleaned up, but it adds, you know, there's new energy to it, new imagination to it, more fluidity to it. And so that's exactly what we're killing our hypertrophy, strength, power, and speed. We're literally killing all of them and rebirthing them because it's, you know, I wrote them 7 years ago. It's like, I was just an angry ex-SEAL caveman that could write my programs down what I was doing. Right. But I realized after all these years, like, wait a minute, like, I should probably start writing programs more for the universal person instead of just like, this is what I'm doing, do it. So you're doing the same. It's just, it's, when people go like, well, wait, do I get the new one for free? No, you don't.
It's a completely different workout.
I still put a ton of work into it. Anyways, good. Yeah. That's what you would message me, like your big project. Good stuff.
Yeah. I finally got it done. And I wanted to get it done before New Year's, but I got it done like a week ago. So it's been,
that's my,
been
my
nice. You know, so I'm kind of chilling. My brain is like open again, right? Good. I can actually think without having a to-do list.
Yeah.
It's just, you know,
I'm still in that brain. Like, I'm still in that, but I didn't really have, like, for me, I have two of them done. I just haven't transcribed them into a better, because that's the one thing too, is cleaning up a program sometimes just making it more understandable and legible.
Yeah.
Cause like in my head, it's like, I know what this exercise is, but I'm now, it's like, I make sure it's clear for everyone, because like, that's the point, right? Is if you can better get someone to exemplify what your intent is in your program, you as a coach can measure their progress better because you know what the standard outcome should be. So yeah, it's exciting for me too, as a coach, to re-release, because you know the people that trust you and I are going to trust the programs and get even more benefit from them.
Right.
You bet.
Yeah.
So,
well, Jeff, I had a few questions over the last few weeks that I haven't really addressed, and I wanted to bring you on and talk about them. You know, everybody worries about, you know, getting through Hell Week and getting through that first phase of BUDS or whatever hard selection, you know, whether it's a 4-week selection like Air Force PJs or going through the first 4 weeks of BUDS or whatever. You know, those are pretty darn hard things, and you're not really learning a lot. You're learning a lot about yourself and you know, how to endure pain and being tired and just keep moving and being a good team player, but you're not really learning anything tactical, right? After all the hard stuff, they have start introducing you to the tactical, right? In second phase, it's diving. Third phase, it's land warfare, a variety of skills that are probably new to many of you. So what I wanted to talk about a little bit is that transition of now you're getting fed all this information that you have to now master and learn it and then replicate it for an instructor at those standards, following those procedures, and then move on to the next challenge and what that is. So it becomes still it's physically demanding the rest of the training, but on top of it, you are now being asked to do things that you've never done before and master them quickly within a week.
Under the same amount of stress too.
Yeah. Same amount of stress and, you know, being able to, you know, take that to the next level and build on that. So it's all foundational type work, but it's still a process. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit about that process, maybe the mindset going into, let's say, second phase, and you've never done scuba diving before.
Right.
Which is fine. You don't have to done scuba diving before.
I agree. I never did. Yeah.
Many people have. I was diving when I was 12 years old, but I don't think it really helped me
to
get through diving.
Like, hey, what's a regulator? God, like, you know, having a familiarity with a regulator, the tanks, having some familiarity with like a pistol, like maybe how to clean it. Like, I think that would have been nice to have a better mechanical understanding of those things. But you're right. Like, what I like to tell folks from our selection or others, like specifically buds who I can speak to, is, man, I'm really thankful I learned the diving, the shooting, the land nav the way I did, because it was so well structured coming from people of experience, not like, hey, I read a ton of books, here's the do it. Like, all of our mentors and instructors had experienced all of these things through years. Just like we're talking about this 24 years it took you to, you know, come to the point of like, hey, I got these books now. and that's the same thing as what Buds offers initially. And I'm sure people are aware of this internally at NSW, some more than others. But Buds as a process, as you say, is accomplishing things without broadcasting them, right? There's a deselection, just like there is deselection is the emotional conditioning, where the community is the initial community, the leadership community at Buds is saying, we gotta strain these folks emotionally to see if they can have the emotional stability so that we can teach them the things that are required of aptitude, like the learning, the diving, the demo, the land nav. And so it's such a beautiful, when you and I get out of it, we can look at it and go, the process is not broken.
No.
And that's, you look at it and go, you see exactly what's going to happen, especially as for you and I, they've been through it. You can see it. You can see people's emotional state. You can see how they react to it. Some people's aptitude is a little bit different than others, but now that we've experienced it, you can kind of like, when guys come to train with you or whatever, you're like, you can see yourself in them. And we just got a couple guys that graduated just like you did probably previously.
Yep.
One of the guys' father's stationed here and he's going to come visit. And that's one of the cool things I get to talk to him about is like, I'm excited to hear what his experience was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I kind of got off the rails a little bit, but to point the process of Buds on big picture is a really cool sociological experiment that deselection. That then you see these people, there's a big emotional aptitude. They're like, oh, I'm going to endure this. And then you, exactly what Stu says, you see dive physics put on them, right? Objective learning under duress, like the checklist of underwater, do this, if the hose is this, like the pool comp.
Yeah.
Right. And then we go into land nav and demo and shooting. And it's like, but that emotional aptitude of stress they never take the foot off that gas pedal.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you're getting fed new information really through a fire hose. But the one of the unique things I thought about Navy education and military education in general is that it is really taught to you through repetition.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you really can't just do it till you get it right, right? There's the old saying, you know, don't do it till you get it right. Do it till you can't get it wrong.
Yep.
And that's really the methodology of these schools, is you're going to have a certain amount of repetitions while you're in your training day. Right. But you can take that out of your training day and with your spare time, which is minimal, but you can be working the procedures in your head. You're laying in bed, pretending that you're going through the dive procedures. And so you're working those procedures constantly, like a dirt dive, you know, you would do. In fact, that's what we called them. They were dirt dives. And, you know, that is just another way to get more repetitions in. And the more repetitions you get, the next thing you know, the procedures are just secondhand to you. And that's really what you're trying to learn throughout all of this, you know, tactical fitness or tactical training journey.
Yeah, it's the merging of your intellect and your intuition. And that's where you get so much real, like that's where you get high performers, right? Let's step back even more, Stu. And I may be misquoting this percentage, but memory serves me to say, hey, the percentage of Navy SEALs across the board that have a college degree is somewhere around 32 to 37% during the year. Some is pretty high.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, and you go, well, is that all officers? Like, no, it's only 3%, 2% are officers. But what does that say? It says, oh, this group of people, by and large, has sought out, they're a seeker of knowledge or information and intellect in sport. And so they developed it, right? You got all these, that's why there's so many ex-athletes that come through Spec War, because they've developed such a good base of what you're saying, you know, being comfortable, being uncomfortable in a sport. But if they stick with that sport long enough, that physical repetition merges, because like we can, again, look at, you know, you're going to read all these books and you're going to have to go through all the demo stuff. You got to read all the diet stuff. You got to read. There's an intellectual portion of that. But we can't learn that intellectual portion until we add reps to it and we fuse that to our feeling. Like, because I always say to people, it's like, how do you know that you hit a golf ball correct every time aside from a trajectory? The feel. And that's what you're seeking. You're constantly seeking that input of intuition of feel through what we know. And that buds is this huge chaotic thing that there's all this real objective learning to happen, because that shows where people fall off. It's super clear because everyone is being measured at the same thing. Officers, enlisted, doesn't matter the religion, doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter your sexual preference, doesn't matter. It doesn't even really care about your past, what your life experiences were. It's like, hey, this test called BUDS will work every single time as long as it maintains what it does. It has the cadre going through the same process as everyone after and before them. And so that value is really, really present. And I think that, biased, of course, but I think that that's why the Navy has a lot more continuity across the board in spec war, because we all come from that Navy SEAL, SWIC, EOD launching pad in San Diego, we'll say, right?
Sure.
Whereas the Rangers, SF guys, they could come from a multitude of different places and end up at a selection course. So there tends to be like this big brother, little brother, like you're a Ranger, you're an SF guy, you're a infantry guy, like what? Like, but we all show up at BUDS and we're told right out of the gate, man, it's really cool. Like officer enlisted, you guys fucking get along, but still adhere to the necessity of rule and order and things within the military. So I think that that's, BUDS is such a really cool social experiment. And now that they've extended an SQT where there's even more, right, objective learning, like you're saying, it's just cool. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah. And you know, in fact, we just had a guy come back for Christmas leave, just got his Trident this last class, and was just telling us it is so worth, you know, every beat down that you get, every moment of hell week that you had to endure, it is so worth that, you know, being uncomfortable and just tired and in pain, for, you know, compared to what they're doing now, you yep. know, it is just everything, you know, yep.
You hear those words and you're like, yep. That's the impetus. People go like, Jeff, why do you do what you do? Why do you keep, because it's that, like what he reported to you, it's like, man, that feeling of true self-worth and succeeding in something, you know, like, man, this was worth pursuing. And why was it worth pursuing? Because it was so hard to get there. And I think that that's something really cool to like now see these guys that you train and we train, you're like, man, like I'm happy for them. And I'm not like, it's not about me. It's really cool for them.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Feel it. Yeah. Feel it for them.
And then you give them the new guy speech.
yeah.
Right. So
and that's the thing is like, I wonder what sort of new guy experience it is now. I have no idea. You know,
from what I've heard, it's very similar to
the old days.
In fact, sometimes they'll even take away the Trident that they gave them at SQT, and you now have to re-earn it, you know, in your platoon.
Nice. So okay.
Which I think that's kind of a, you know, it's probably not universal, but you know, it is a unique, you know, brotherhood system type.
Yeah.
You know, you're building now you're being part of an even more specialized team. So the answer to the question is, how do I act as a new guy, is just realize that you are a freshman again. You know, you're a freshman. Let's say you're a freshman and you're a great athlete and you've had some great years behind you, accomplished a lot of things. And now you're going to be a freshman on a varsity, you know, football team or whatever. Right. And you're going to be a starter as a freshman. Yep. Right. That is the level of intensity that comes into this, this next level journey. You know, you're still a rookie, right? But you're going to have to up your game again to be at this next level of athleticism or activity and specialization, to a point where you now earn the right to sit in that team room, right? You haven't earned anything yet. And my advice is to just be in receive mode, learn as much as you can, and just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to show you a lot of maturity and that you need. And, you know, the folks will appreciate it. Sorry, my dog's in the backyard there.
That's okay. We're and the other thing too is, like, for with new guys, like, I'll kind of put on that is, like, the one thing you're definitely not in control of is your timeline. What I mean is, like, when I showed up at SEAL Team 5 my first time, it's, you know, there's schools that are happening all the time for the community, like sniper school, breaching school, dive supervisor, boats and motors, all these sort of things, all these schools that new guys are going to be expected to attend, right? So let's say you graduate SQT and you just happen to maybe graduate around the fiscal new year where all the classes begin to start. Or you maybe graduate SQT at the end of the fiscal year and you get up and like, well, your chief is like, hey, new guy, the only class you've got is hazmat driver and small boats and motors. And you're like, oh, that's super boring. Well, you know, some guys might get lucky because they're, you know, so this thing, my point is this, is just to piggyback on what you say is, if your intent really is to be a professional soldier, a professional operator, like really, not just wear the trident and tell everyone how awesome you are and bank on the fact that society can't differentiate between a bud student, a Navy SEAL, or a tier one SEAL. Society doesn't differentiate between that. And it's really not their job, but internally it is. Internally, you know, a person has got to have a little bit of understanding of where their position is. And your position as a new guy, whether it's just being your trident, is your job is to learn as many skills foundationally as you can to support the team. And it never ends, because I did my two deployments. I did all the boats and motors and the stuff that's the hazmat driver. And I got my CDL and I was responsible driving the bus to and from the drop zone as a new guy, all those things. Right. And then I got back from my next deployment. It's like, because I did all those things that I was asked of me and I did them as best I could. And I tried to be the best professional soldier I could. When I got back, then all the cool schools opened up for me. It's like, hey, do you want breacher school? Do you want sniper? Do you want free fall? Do you want what? And I was like, oh, I want sniper school, right? And I get it. But then I show up at sniper school, you're like, legends are teaching it. Like, oh, I'm two deployment in, and now I'm a new guy at like the most difficult NSW school with an attrition rate of 85% as well internally. You're like, damn, okay. So you get through that, and you're like, I'm the best guy in the world. I go my second deployment. 16 days after that deployment, I was in green team. So I come back as like a, you know, a slayer of Ramadi, you know, you know, post SEAL Team 3 and Chris Collin Jocko's, we replaced them and I go over there, got my first kills. And I'm like war hero. 16 days later, I'm sitting in green team with legends. And I'm like, oh my God, who am I? Like I knew nothing. Right. So don't let that deter you. Being a new guy is the opportunity, because if you pass up going to those schools, you're a leader, you're going to go up in rank, and then you're going to have to go, well, I'm the leader. I can't take a spot from my new guy. I got to give him the schools. I can't, as a chief, I'm not going to take sniper school away from my E5s and E6. So when you get as a new guy, when you get a chance to go to school, you just say yes. That's what you do. You say yes. That's what you do. It's no, there's no, well, let me check with my wife. No, your wife as a new guy is the United States Navy. Now, that's not to say, well, that's a whole other topic, but that's, I guess my point is, guys, is the more willingness, the more willing you are to learn and receive instruction from your leadership, you will become indispensable and you will always be able to make choices like what to do, what schools to go to. Your rank and advancement will be so much easier too. So I mean, we can open Pandora's box about this topic, but be a new guy, but be one to really ready to learn.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, sometimes I would just go into the ops officer's office and just say, hey, what schools are available?
Yep.
You know, I got this next 6 weeks wide open. I just let them know I'm available.
Yeah.
For training. And, you know, I didn't have a platoon yet. You know, I was about to be an AOIC and moving into it. And I was just waiting for the next platoon to open up. I knew where I was going, but still had time before it. I was like, anything I can do, right? Next thing I know, I'm going through MAROP school, you know, because they had a slot for it. And, you know, I'd even go in there some days and just say, hey, forklift driving school's open. Let me do that.
I've always wanted
to drive a forklift.
Yeah, because it's only like a week course, man. And you're in San Diego. What are you going to do? You're going to spend 4 hours driving a forklift and enjoy it? Like, and you'll always have that skill. Like, my dad drove semi for 41 years. I got a CDL at 22 so I could drive a bus. And it's
that's
like,
cool.
Huh, I could totally do this, you know?
That's really
cool. Yeah, right. So, you know, it's just one of those things, guys. Like, being a new guy, like there's a real excitement to it because you're still fresh of SQT, got my trident. I say continue that excitement into learning.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this and not sense to be begrudging, but you can get to a platoon or get to the team where there's not much going on. And maybe people's attitude might be like, well, we're not going to be doing much anyway. I experienced that my first platoon kind of. The attitude wasn't great, but like a person's career from what I could see is like people that look back to their career and go, that sucked. Like most of them probably would probably admit to the fact that they kind of didn't take advantage of some of the things they could have to learn and to educate. This is why, if you don't take part in the community's learning, you're not going to feel part of the community. So be an asset, and then you will feel welcomed in the community because you'll be treated as, hey, this person's knowledge base is valuable for the team, and it's worth having.
Yeah, nice. That's a great way to sum this up. One final thing that I would do is, like, if there were no schools at all and I had time on my hands, was, you know, instead of, like, you know, sometimes you just get picked up and you have to go do things, right?
Yep.
But if you can actually go into a department, like I would go into the armory and just hang out with the gunner's mates that ran the armory and just say, hey, what's the cool gunner's mate way of taking apart this M60?
Yes.
Right. And just learn some skills. And then next thing you know, you're taking it apart blindfolded, right? And able to figure all that stuff out and just, you know, take them a case of beer, say, thanks for your time showing me how to do this. And I mean, that goes a long way in just one, appreciating the support that you have at the team, you know, and being the new guy. And, you know, it's really an important thing to do. And, you know, never bite the hand that feeds you, you know, whether it's the people that are handling your travel vouchers or the people that are, you know, taking care of your dive equipment and your guns, you know.
Yep. Agreed.
Treat them nicely too.
Yeah. It's funny. You literally just, like, my two high points to finish this were like, I was like, what you need to do as a new guy, for my advice, if there's nothing going on, and I can use me as an example, because this is what I did. I had some time at times but I had a background in strength conditioning because I was a strength coach in college before coming in. Well, I thought like, well, shoot, man, I'm a Navy SEAL now with the background as a strength coach. Like, I bet I can call around and get access to places. Like, call the Chargers, call San Diego State, call, there's a really famous shooting instructor. Like, that's the beauty. My entire life since I was in the teams in the 10 years now since I've been out, anytime I approach a professional organization to want to learn, just like your mastered arms or whatever, me or gunner's mates. It's like, it's the same thing. If you really love guns or really like weight training or really like skydiving or really like professional skills within the job, professionally introduce yourself to the world's best skydivers, right? The Red Bull skydiving team or the Arsenal out of Arizona. Say, hey, I'd really like to learn from you. I'd like to be a better professional soldier. Oh, now, by the way, I'm an active Navy SEAL. Doors fly open. Fly open. You're like, what? And then if you step through that threshold and you're professional, courteous, kind, and you represent the community in a very professional manner, you have just built rapport and relationships to now a professional conduit that makes you an exceptional, exceptional warrior. And so now internally, you're going to find some of the world's best skydivers and shooters and things. But it's nice to also have a bit of an open mind to go, hey, I can learn from this reservoir and I can also learn from this. And it doesn't mean I can negate this other one. I can, this is like, if you love weight training, you can look at powerlifting and find love in it and go, oh, they're not just strong, but their movement pattern has to be really good to exert that much force. And you go, bodybuilding, like, I don't want to be a bodybuilder, but I can really, 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 really respect their a lot of things about bodybuilding, the willingness to be uncomfortable, right? All those things, you go, oh, like you, so whatever that is that you love that makes you a great SEAL, it is you. It's those things about professionalism. Go seek them out because no one's going to say no if you are respectful, professional, and they can serve you in a way. So it's a really cool thing because sport and industry really is in the business of sharing because it's like the Patriots aren't going to share what they're doing and totally because they don't want the Cowboys to know, whatever, right? And the military is the same way. They're not really in business of broadcasting what they do, but internally they share very deeply. And internally, sport and the military will totally share because you're not competing against knowledge. And so I got so much access in the sporting world to learn how to sleep better, how to eat better, how to train better. And I was able to bring that into the SEAL world and go, well, you know, I don't have 16 football games a year, but the trauma post-football game, there's things I can learn how they heal, you know, it's like, great. You might go through a really, really tough op and you're pooped. Well, there's not a day off the next day. If that target is, hey, we got to hit this target again. There's no off day. So your best thing is to like learn things from sport or learn things from industry you can pull in and make the community better.
Yeah, man. I love that. Jeff, I'm sorry to cut this short, but there's actually somebody knocking at my door that
no worries.
Driving my dog crazy. I'm the only one here.
Yeah.
They won't go away. So, but no, I appreciate your feedback on that because, you know, you're right. You can really set yourself up very nicely in this profession and beyond by just going in there and being humble and realizing you're the new guy, it's your job to learn and it's your job to up your game so you can stay in that community for as long as you want.
You bet. There you go. Yeah. You see, you're in charge of your timeline and I agree. So yeah, we'll do it again, Stu. We'll do a topic and if you guys have questions, we'll follow on.
Yeah, let's do it. So everybody check out performancefirstus.com, especially this tactical conference that he is going to be holding in April. I got April 21st through the 23rd.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And guys, check out stusmithfitness.com. Got plenty of articles and programs over there as well. So I appreciate your time, Jeff.
Yeah, buddy.
And appreciate your time for listening. So until next time, we'll see you later.